tuned in to the Community Cats Podcast. Ready? Let's go. So let me introduce our speakers today. Susie Richmond is the Executive Director of Neighborhood Cats. Having served in that role since 2010, she oversees hands-on TNR programs in New York City, Jersey City, and the island of Maui, as well as using her prior Madison Avenue advertising experience to write, among other things, crowdfunding appeals to help the many sick and injured cats who come to Neighborhood Cats' organization. One of her favorite projects currently is a veterinary scholarship program designed to train community cat-oriented vets on high-volume spay-neuter techniques. When she's not in the office, you can find Susie out in the fields of Maui, where she recently passed the 1,000 cat trapped mark. She's clearly got some experience. And then we also have Brian Cordes. Brian Cordes serves as Neighborhood Cats' National Program Director and Susie Richmond's husband. Back in 1999, while working in Manhattan as both an attorney and a video director, Brian co-founded Neighborhood Cats after TNRing a colony near where he lived. I think that's how a lot of you guys get started. Except for a six-year stint as a grants manager for PetSmart Charities, he has been with the organization ever since. He has authored or co-authored handbooks on grassroots TNR, community TNR, and return to field programs. You can always find him online, where he regularly presents both basic and advanced webinars on all things trap, neuter, return in partnership with the Community Cats Podcast. And we are grateful to have him here. So Brian, I'm going to go ahead and hand that microphone on over to you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Kristen. And thanks everybody for taking time out today to learn more about helping the cats. You know, Susie is there in the background. If you have any specific questions, just shoot them over to her and she'll get you an answer. Okay, so let's get right into it. There's a lot to cover today. The first part of the webinar will be going over the basics for those of you who have not used traps before and those who have who might want to make sure you're not missing any basic steps. And then we'll get into much more advanced stuff, including we're debuting our instructions on what we call the auto drop trap, if you want to build one yourself. So that's coming today too. So what is a drop trap? Well, just go back to the old idea that of, you know, a box propped up on a stick and the cat goes under it and you're basically pulling it and the box is falling down over them. So it's just that simple idea. Obviously, we need something a bit more sophisticated, especially since we need to get the cat out of the box, but it's nothing all that complicated. Now, the real drop traps that are available, the original manufacturer, the one you want to get is, and instead of a knockoff, is the Tomahawk model DT1. And it's 36 by 36 by 14, actually 35 by 35 if you measure it exactly. And it's the same idea. It's a big box propped up on a stick. And you can see it's got a side door, which is how we're going to get the cats out. Has an anchor flap in the back so we can put weight on it. So once you've caught Kitty, he can't drag it down the whole thing down the street. And on the right there, you can see how this particular model folds down, makes it pretty easy to transport. There are two different sizes of drop traps now available. From Tomahawk, there's the DT1, which is what we're featuring today, and that's the 36-inch, 18-pound. And then there's the DT2. Which is heavier at 26 pounds, but bigger at 48. So we really prefer the 36-inch, and that's for safety reasons. Because even if you've done this a lot, things can go wrong. And having 26 pounds come down on a cat is significantly more than 18. And if you're doing everything properly, 99 out of 100 times, the 36-inch trap is going to be fine. So that's what we highly recommend. So why a drop trap instead of your normal box trap, which is how we refer to the usual traps that we use with trap neuter return? The reason is there's a huge psychological advantage to drop traps. With box traps, we need to get the cats real hungry because they have a natural wariness of going into narrow spaces, especially if they think there's only one way in and one way out. So a drop trap, they're not going really into it, they're going under it, and they don't have the same kind of fear. As a result, they don't need to be as hungry. You don't need to starve them for, 1 or 2 days beforehand. you can, if they didn't eat that day, it's usually going to be enough for them to just wander in. Now, of course, that's not 100% true. There's always cats who are especially wary, but the majority of cats, they are a little bit hungry and they see food under a drop trap. They're just going to walk right under it without a second thought. So as a result, you can use drop traps for a variety of different purposes when it comes to trapping. So you can do targeted trapping if you're just looking to catch a particular cat, say a pregnant cat or injured or a mom and kittens, the ones you didn't catch when you were using box traps and doing a mass trapping. Of course, it's our favorite for cats who just won't go into a box trap no matter what. We've used them, and we'll talk about this later in detail, to catch a large number at the beginning of a mass trapping. We may put out two or three drop traps and catch, well, we've caught as many as 13 cats at a time at the beginning. And then you go out and you put your drop traps out. I mean, your regular box traps out. Some trappers love the drop trap so much that they don't use anything else. They only use box traps to transfer the cats out of the drop trap. So you can see it has really a variety of uses. In terms of how do you put the drop trap together, you've got this folded metal thing. How do you actually turn it into the trap? I'm going to send you to, rather than spend time on it now, I'll send you to Tomahawk's website where they have a video that goes step by step how to unfold it and put the roof on and all the different pieces. Let me just say that after you've done it a couple of times, it will take you about 2 minutes to put the trap together. It's very simple. But what I want to do at the very beginning here is just show you a drop trapping in action, step by step, so then we can go and break it down on what the basics are. But this is a situation where this kitty you see in the slide, the tabby and white, he showed up at an established colony where all the other cats, there were about 20 of them at the time, they were all fixed. And then he showed up, so we just wanted to catch him. So this would be a good example of selective trapping. And let's talk about some of the steps that go around that process. So one thing I want to emphasize right from the beginning is don't use this for the very first time. Those of you who are not experienced with drop traps yet, don't use it for the first time on that cat you've been after for 5 years, because it looks very simple, but there are little mistakes you can make, especially in the transfer, that you won't make if you go through the process once. So we recommend, maybe try to trap a cat that you want to get updated on their vaccinations, or even practice on one of your pet cats at home and go through the whole process of not just dropping the trap, but transferring the cat into the box trap. If you do it once, you'll get all the mistakes out of the way, because again, it's a simple process, but the very first time it can feel kind of awkward. The location where you're going to use the drop trap, you want to scout that ahead of time. Now we'll talk about how do you drop trap on an uneven surface, but for the most part, you're going to want the ground to be flat, unless you have a drop trap pad that we'll talk about. You want good visibility. Obviously, you want to be able to see the trap well. Typically, you're going to trap near where the cats are used to eating. Think about the fact you're going to transfer the cat out through the side door, so you want to make sure there's enough space to put a box trap. You can, in a tight spot, you can rotate the drop trap very carefully and slowly, but it's better if you don't need to do that. Also, don't put the drop trap on the edge of something like a patio or a sidewalk, something where once the cat is trapped, if he pushes against the trap and makes it move forward an inch or two, it creates an opening that he could slip out and under. We recommend a good strong nylon string, like, I forget the weight, but like 50 pound, 75 pound weight. Heavy object for the anchor weight. You're going to need to cover the trap. We found that something heavier like a blanket is easier to quickly throw over. Make sure the dish, your bait dish, is not breakable. You don't want to put glass or something in there that when they're running back and forth, they can break it. Lots of bait. The tabby white, who we called Wonka, when we were trapping him, you were probably thinking like, God, that's an enormous amount of food. That's because there's 20 cats in that colony, and we didn't know he would be the first one in. He might have been the 19th. So you have to leave enough bait so that everybody can get a bite before the cat you're after goes in. They need either a transfer cage or a box trap, and trap dividers, will show you why they're handy. They can be helpful if the kitty won't move easily out of the drop trap. Binoculars are helpful, and having a second person, especially when you're new to this, is extremely helpful. It just makes everything go a lot smoother, and one person can pull, another person can run over, and when you're trying to transfer him, it can help if one person kind of bends down and looks at the cat while the other person is at the box trap on the other side of the trap. So having a second person is not essential, but can be helpful. So let's go through step by step. I mentioned baiting the trap and making sure there's enough food and making sure it's not breakable. The positioning is important. It's in the center, in the very back. That gives you the most distance. Once the cat realizes something's not going right, they have to travel the furthest distance to get out of the trap. So you can try using something enticing like you normally would in a box trap, like tuna or sardines, roasted chicken. But a lot of experienced drop trappers prefer to use whatever the cats are used to in order not to tip them off. So that's just a judgment call. We like to use sardines and tuna, something extra tempting. Now take a little bit of the bait and sprinkle the little bit of around outside the bait dish and just around the perimeter of the drop trap. And that can be very helpful to, you know, if there is a cat who's a little bit wary, to tempt them to keep going further in. So you've set up your drop trap, you got your bait, and now you're ready to go. If you're working alone, position the box trap you're going to transfer into and the sheet that's going to cover the box trap within arm's reach of the drop trap. So you don't want to pull the string, run over, cover the drop trap, and then run back to get your box trap and make that extra trip and take that extra time while the kitty's trying to get out of there. So have it within reach. Make sure you're far enough away. If you're out in the open, you might want to be 25, 50 feet away. I've had extremely wary cats where I've been 100 feet away and used binoculars. So depending on the situation, you want to make sure you're far enough away. Have the blanket by your side so you can grab it and run over. Notice how the string on this is taut. You don't want to have it too tight, because if you involuntarily make a movement with your arm, you don't want it on a hair trigger where it could just suddenly drop before you want it to. But you also don't want there to be slack. You don't want to have to take a hitch in your motion. So basically, if the string is taut and it'll just take a good yank of your arm, that's the amount of tension that you want on it. And then also, it's really important to be patient. So you'll notice that when Wonka went under the drop trap, Susie didn't pull the string immediately. She tried to wait until he got his tail under and he was relaxed. And that way, it minimizes the chance that as you're pulling, all of a sudden they're going to jolt at just the wrong moment. So be patient. Wait till they're in a good position. I will say one thing with tails, though, is what we've noticed is when the drop trap starts to fall, the cats usually move forward. So the tail is usually not an issue if it's a little bit outside the drop trap. So here's an example of a trapping we did where the cat we were after is the one in the right circle. That's our target kitty. So she's watching how another cat is eating. And that can be very helpful. We never mind that, especially if you've got a little bit of a wary cat. You can see how she's watching the other cat eat, and then she's going to see him leaving, right? And now when she goes in, notice her body position. This would be too soon to pull the string because, look, she's leaning forward. She's not entirely in the trap. And she's ready to spring if she needs to. So this would be a bad time to pull. Now, this is the right time because she's all the way in. Her posture is much more relaxed. And you can see she's absorbed with the eating. Now, this may only be a difference of a few seconds, but this is the position you need the cat to be in that will pretty much make it impossible for her to escape once the string is pulled. And I like this slide because it shows you, you see where the red arrow is on the lower left of the slide? You can see that the trap hasn't hit the ground yet, right? Like, look at the prop stick. It's just falling. Yet, look how the cat has already reacted and is trying to get out. So we're talking split seconds here. And that's why it's so important that they're in the proper position before you pull the string. So you want to cover the trap quickly. It's just like with a box trap where once you cover them, they calm down. Then you're going to do the transfer. You're going to line up the rear door of the box trap, which needs to have a rear door. It needs to be a guillotine style. And you're going to line that up with the side door of the drop trap. Now, sometimes what people do is they figure, well, I've got this box trap here, so I might as well set it because maybe Kitty will go into the box trap instead of the drop trap. So they bait the box trap and they set it up, which is fine. And then the moment of truth comes that they drop trap, the cat's under the drop trap, move over the box trap, set up the transfer, and they forgot to close the front door. So don't let that happen to you. In fact, I think it's better just not to set the box trap. And I know this from personal experience because I did it once. I trapped a cat who was incredibly difficult to catch. I was literally about 100 yards away with binoculars sitting in my car. And once I finally got the cat under the drop trap, I had to actually drive to get to it. And in the heat of the moment and the excitement, and it was January and 10 degrees outside, and I lined everything up, did the transfer, and watched the cat go galloping away. And I was like, what happened? Then I forgot to close the front door. So I just don't do that anymore. I leave the front door shut. On the drop trap, there's a couple of extra spring clips, one on either side of the side door opening. And those are there to attach the box trap to the side door opening. So make sure you use those. You can see them in the slide. You don't have to make it real tight. It's just there to make sure that the box trap doesn't shift. That's one of the things that can go wrong is if the cat is moving around a lot and somehow there's a shift that creates just a little bit of an opening and then the cat is able to squeeze through it and get out. So use these spring clips on either side of the side door. They're the one that are closest to the side. There's, you're going to see a pair of two on either side of the side door. The furthest one attaches to the roof. The one that's closest to the side door attaches to the box trap. So when you're doing the transfer, you're going to cover the sides of the box trap, except for the rear of it. That stays uncovered. And when the cat looks at towards the box trap, they see daylight. They see an opening at the end. And that's what motivates them to get out. Once everything's set, raise the drop trap side door and the box trap rear door. And then just try to stay out of the cat's line of sight and be patient. Usually they go in right away trying to escape. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer. This is where having a second person can be very helpful because they can go to the opposite side of the drop trap. Like I said, bend down. The cat takes one look at you and runs the other way. There's some other tricks we could show you in case that doesn't work. And the box trap is lined up. The box trap's fully covered except for the rear door. And the person doing the transfer is out of sight of the cat. And we have another person on the other side who, if necessary, can bend down and have a look and try to scare Kitty in the other direction. So once the cat's gone in, you're going to shut the doors, disengage the spring clips, fully cover the box trap. If there's more than one cat in the drop trap, you're going to repeat this process. You only want to get one cat at a time out of there. So if you do the trick we're going to talk about later, where you trap six or seven cats at the same time, you just have to be patient, go one by one. Having regular trap dividers with you in that situation is very helpful in case two of them do go in at the same time into the box trap. If you have a trap divider, you'll be able to separate them and do another transfer or just leave them like that, but they won't be able to hurt each other. So what if the cat won't cooperate and just won't get out of the box trap? So if you're alone, the best thing to do is pull the cover on the drop trap, pull the blanket slowly towards you. So if you're dealing with a feral cats prefer to, once they're in captivity, darker covered spaces is what they prefer. And they move from light to dark is what how we describe it. So as you pull the blanket towards you and off of the roof of the drop trap, the cats are going to move forward in order to stay under and be covered. And that will move them more and more towards your box trap. Talked about a second person bending down. You can also use a spray bottle with a little bit of water. You can move an object very slowly and carefully towards the cat, like a stick. Nothing too sharp, though. Don't touch the cat. You don't want to risk injury. You just want, again, you want to motivate them to move in the other direction. And then having drop trap dividers or regular trap dividers can be very helpful. If worst comes to worst, just wait. They will go in eventually. I've had people who have just had us, you know, stand there for 10 minutes or even 20 minutes at the worst. I mean, usually this is over with in a minute or two. But every once in a while, you just have to really be patient.
Are you passionate about making spay-neuter services more accessible? Join us for the 2024 United Spay Alliance online conference on October 12th and 13th, hosted by the Community Cats podcast and the United Spay Alliance. This two-day virtual event brings together animal welfare experts offering presentations on starting low-cost spay-neuter programs, fundraising, community outreach, and more. Learn what's working from professionals and volunteers and get inspired with new strategies to help control the cat population. Register today at communitycatspodcast.com/spayallday and be part of the change.
Tomahawk Live Trap exceeds customers' expectations by providing them with the highest quality humane animal control products available. Check out their new Pro Series Gravity Door Trap. They feature a door that sets automatically when you open it. No hook or plate setting needed. Use discount code KEEPITHUMANE for 10% off your order at livetrap.com. Want an easy grant opportunity for your animal organization? Maddie's Fund is giving away a $3,000 grant each month to one lucky Maddie's Pet Forum member. You'll automatically be entered to win each month when you start a new discussion, reply to a new post, or upload a new library resource. Learn more at forum.maddiesfund.org today. The Academy is back. After a three-year hiatus, the biggest in-person gathering of boots-on-the-ground cat rescuers from all over the country has returned for another unforgettable weekend of community building, skill development, and fostering brand connections to make your life as a rescuer the best and most fulfilling it can be. They say it's all about the cats, but the Academy understands that nothing can be achieved without people like you behind the scenes. That's why we know the best way to advance the cause is to support you in becoming the best version of yourself. This two-day conference exclusively serves cat rescuers like you through advanced and masterclass content from dozens of your rescue peers and industry leaders. Activity spaces, specialized meetups, structured breakout sessions, interactive experiences, after-hour activities, and more to help build your life-saving network. FaceTime and opportunities to build relationships with event sponsors and industry professionals. And of course, our legendary paper-free swag bags loaded with samples and full-size products to try. This year's conference is a twofer. Your registration includes access to the Cat Fanciers Association International Cat Show and Expo, where you'll find entertainment, artists, vendors, public cat welfare sessions, and more. Join us at the IX Center in Cleveland, Ohio, October 12th and 13th, and use the code COMMUNITYCATS15 at registration for 15% off. Learn more about the conference, speakers, activities, and features at theacademy.org.
So these are drop trap dividers, again, from Tomahawk Live Trap, and they're specially designed so that two of them will fit across the 36-inch drop trap and what it would look like. You would basically narrow the space that kitty has to move around in and kind of slowly march him towards the opening of the box trap. So now we're going to do like a little bit of a quiz for you, introducing our friend Farley the Feral here. And this is who we're after, right? So we're about to pull the string, right? But what's wrong with this picture? And you can go into the questions box and tell me, what do you see here that is wrong? Why is it a bad idea to pull the string right now? Dish is in the wrong place. That's correct. Should be towards the back, not actively eating. Those are both correct. One other thing. Yeah, facing the wrong way, not relaxed. Those are both correct. Dish is in the wrong place. There's one other mistake here. Glass bowl. Very good. Okay, so those are the mistakes. Kitty is going to easily get out if you pull the string right now. He's facing out. He's not in the back. He's not engaged in eating. Wouldn't be all that helpful since the bowl is in the center instead of in the back. And then finally, the bowl is made out of glass. So that's a real hazard when you've got a frantic cat running back and forth. All right, real good. Okay, how about this one? What's wrong with this scenario? No weight. That's good. Yep. There's no weight on the hole in the ground. It's not on even ground. So that's correct. There's one other. Well, I would just say the string's not quite taut enough, but that's kind of a tough one. But yeah, there's no weight on the anchor flap. So the cat, especially if he's a big, strong male cat, is going to be able to drag that trap potentially to a bad spot, but it's already in a bad spot. If that trap falls down, the cat Farley is just going to go into that little hole you see there, that little pothole, and squeeze out under the drop trap. So the whole trap is in a bad spot. You see, there he goes. He squeezed his way out. All right, so here we have Farley. He's in his transfer cage, and he's ready for the clinic. Okay, so I want to show you one more example, and then we'll move on to the advanced drop trapping. I want to show you one more, like it's a 3-minute video of what we call selective trapping, where you're targeting particular cats. And in this one, the cat we're after is the black cat who's sitting up on the post, the upper right of the slide. The situation was, this is another colony where everybody was fixed, but then the black cat showed up pregnant. So obviously we want to catch her. But this is a good example of being patient. So notice how there's a couple of other cats who are ear-tipped, but there's enough bait in the bowl for everybody to have a bite. And this particular cat, the black cat, is one who is going to wait. No, is not who's going to wait her turn. So we just have to wait out with her. And also notice how the string is not going to be pulled until her face is in the bowl. So did you notice at the end there how Susie started to pull the blanket towards her? And that's what got the cat to move forward and go into the box trap. Okay, so let's move on. As I say, we're going to get into more advanced stuff now. And one of the first things is to give you a tip about bowls. So using a familiar bowl, like you see in this slide, how distinct that sunflower or whatever kind of flower bowl that is. And if the cats see their usual familiar bowl under the trap, it does give you a little bit of an edge in terms of them being comfortable going under. So what's interesting, though, also in this situation, so always use the bowl that they're used to eating out of if it's not breakable. Otherwise, get them used to eating out of something that you can use under a drop trap if you are anticipating doing a trapping. But in this situation, in this slide, what you see is that the bowl is awfully large, right? So how do we get around that? And what we did in this situation is you'll notice that we set the drop trap up very close to a wall. So it kind of eliminates that side as an escape route. And then we were able to take this gigantic food bowl and push it. And then we only put bait in the back petals of the bowl, so that when Kitty went in, she'd be off towards the right. And you can see in this slide how that happens. You see how she's crammed in on the side there? Now, obviously, you know, this is an advanced technique, and you have to be very careful that the drop trap doesn't hit the wall on the way down. But it's just an example of how you can be creative and use things like walls to help you. And in this case, as you can see, it to work quite well. Now, here's an idea that we like, which is you can use chalk to, when the drop trap's down on the ground, draw the outline of where it's going to land. And this may help you to determine whether the cat is far enough into the trap to be able to safely pull the string. And again, you want to still make sure their head is in the food bowl, but maybe you've got a couple of, this would be especially helpful if you were, let's say it was an unneutered colony and you had an opportunity to catch two or three at the same time that they're all crowding in there, but you're, you know, two of them are real close and you're not sure whether the third one is in far enough, or having this line there will help you determine that. Use something, you know, that will just wash away in the rain, non-toxic. If you've got a real windy day, and you're a distance away like you are in this slide, the string, even if it's a heavyweight string, is going to start blowing around in the wind and going potentially from side to side or creating a kind of a curve that leads to you. And this can all, but you don't want that. You want the, as we said, you want the string to be taut. So the way around that is that little piece of wood you see in the middle of the rope, which is keeping the string straight and on the ground, but it's light enough that when the string is pulled, it's not going to create any kind of interference. This is a what we call the stubborn caretaker. And this is, if you've been trapping long enough or even not all that long, you're going to encounter this particular type of caretaker. And that's the one who insists that they can pick the cats up and put them in your traps. Now, I've encountered people like this, and, I can't even count how many times. Because, they're used to the cats. They love the cats rub up against them. They don't see the need to set, to put out a box trap and set bait. They think they can just pick Kitty up and put Kitty in the box trap. It always ends up in a bloody mess if they don't listen to you and they insist on doing it. So one of the ways you can solve this problem is with a drop trap. So if you've got somebody like this particular caretaker who insists on grabbing the cat, and you know it's going to end poorly if they try to shove them into the rear door of a box trap, you can have them, you can go ahead and say, all right, do it, but throw them under the drop trap instead of trying to shove them into a regular trap. So simple as that. If we have people like that, we set up the drop trap and we say, go ahead and throw them under there. You'll also notice that we had a pad, solid surface underneath the drop trap, and because the ground was uneven. And we're going to go into that in a little bit more detail in just a moment. So this is just a series of little tricks. We'll get into some larger themes in just a moment. So how about trapping a mom and their and kittens? So this is one way you can do it, which is you've got your mom or your kittens. Let's say we've got the kittens and we're trying to catch the mom. So you've got the kittens in a transfer cage, which is what you see to the right. And notice how all the sides of the transfer cage are covered except for the one facing into the center of the trap. So now when mom comes along trying to get to her kittens, she's going to approach that side that is not covered. And when she's there, she's basically in the back, in the center, and you can pull the string. Obviously, you've set the transfer cage up in a way where it's not going to block the drop trap from falling. So that's a little trick for you. So we talked about uneven ground. We did a mass trapping of this particular colony, but there were a few left. And you can go out and keep putting box traps out and hoping that the one you didn't get eventually goes into one of them. Or you can use a drop trap. But what do you do when the ground is this rutted? And that's where the idea of a drop trap pad comes in. And I'll show you, I'll give you the information on the kind that we have that you can make yourself. But the basic idea is that it's something that's a decent weight and it's going to create a flat surface for the trap to fall down on. In this particular case, we've got two pieces of 3/4-inch plywood that creates the surface for the trap to go down on. So what this particular pad is 4 foot by 4 foot. No, I'm sorry, it's half inch. Is it half? Yeah, it's half inch thick plywood, which is a little lighter. And here you can see in that rutted area how we put it to work, how we were able to bridge the ground and make it nice and flat. There's one of the cats we're after. And then boom, the drop trap falls down on the pad, and you've got your kitty. For transportation purposes, we cut the pad in half, so we have two 2-foot by 4-foot pieces instead of 1 4-foot by 4-foot, which wouldn't fit into the back of anything except maybe a pickup truck. And they're hinged on the bottom so that they can this can fold in half. And here's the basic materials that you would need. You got hinges, and here's showing you the location. Make sure you could use a good durable outdoor paint. The way the drop trap stays on the pad is that it's attached to it in the back. So that's what those loops are for, that you the cable tie loops you're seeing in this slide. That's the back of the trap. And then what we're going to do is, once we have our trap in place, we're attaching the back of the trap to those loops that are on the drop trap pad. The big thing you want to do is make sure that you don't pull them too tight and interfere with the dropping motion of the trap. So make sure you do it loosely, and you're going to fold before you put this on. You're not going to need the anchor flap. So you're going to fold that up, and with a spring clip or a cable tie, attach it to the frame of the drop trap so it's out of the way. Now, soft ground, as opposed to uneven ground, presents its own challenges. One of the things you have to think about is that the prop stick can sink too far into the ground, and when you pull it, it takes too long, or creates an, you know, again, we're talking split seconds here, and that delay could be fatal to your efforts. So this is one way around it. We just get a bait dish. This is a, they're called food boats, and put the prop stick on that. And this is also a slick surface, so it's going to pull pretty quickly. But do be careful if you're dealing with soft ground, that if it's too soft, then you might have the danger of cat digging out from under the drop trap. Like if it's super grassy or there's lots of leaves. So if you're on soft ground, make sure that the trap, once it's down, is going to not be so soft that it's going to, I mean, you need to get over there and get the cat out quickly. You'd still need a little bit of time. Use a pad or find a firmer surface if that's going to be an issue.
That's it for this week. Please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a review. We love to hear what you think, and a 5-star review really helps others find the show. You can also join the conversation with listeners, cat caretakers, and me on Facebook and Instagram. And don't forget to hit follow or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a single show. Thanks for listening, and thank you for everything that you do to help create a safe and healthy world for cats.